Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now, here's a special conversation with Pastor Michael and his son, Pastor Shane, in light of the horrible devastation left by the wildfires in Southern California.
Well, hey, Walk in Truth family, this is Pastor Shane Lance. I'm one of the pastors and the music director at Living Truth Christian Fellowship, where the Walk in Truth program is recorded. And I'm here with Pastor Michael, who you regularly hear on the program. And we wanted to take some time to just do something a little bit different today. You know, we are in Corona, California. We're within an hour's drive of all the fires in LA. And so I have some personal relationships with people who have been affected by these fires. I know people who have been evacuated. And it's been a really tragic thing to see unfolding on social media and the news and all these media outlets, just watching people lose everything. And I did, you know, see there's a famous actor, Rean Wilson, and he lost his home in LA. And he has been on an interesting journey spiritually. I think he's looked at Christianity. I don't really know where he's at these days, but he said something on a post on social media. He said that these moments remind you how fragile life is and how you can lose everything so quick. And, you know, sometimes, Pastor Michael, we look around at the chaos that's unfolding, and I can't help but think of the Psalms and the way David writes about the foes that he's facing. And David was facing very real issues that may never know in America. He's literally being headhunted at some points. And
yeah, and it was coming, Shane, from his father-in-law,
right,
who wanted to kill him, and then who ended up being, you know, obviously tragically dominated by an evil spirit. It came from his own son, which, you know, as a father, and I know you're now a father, is devastating to imagine that your son would want to not only supplant your spot, your throne, but want to kill you.
Yeah.
And then Absalom ends up dying. And in Psalm 3, David talked about, Lord, you're the one that lifts my head. And, you know, there were many things that would cause David's head to drop in these first 30 Psalms. And when I wrote the original manuscript and I had announced to the congregation, hey, I'm going to do this devotion in the first 30 Psalms, my thought was to help people get in a rhythm of daily Bible study.
Right.
I wasn't even really thinking of the substance of many of the Psalms, which the backdrop of most of them are hard, difficult, perplexing things. And I went through my own season of hard, difficult, perplexing things. I don't know if it was caused by secondary stress, but it turned into me feeling pretty stressed out, you know, just almost feeling like the tent was folding up, you know, emotionally and spiritually. And so I really had to press into God, and it transformed this book into something that I was writing more perhaps through a pastoral theologian's eye to, man, I feel like I'm kind of living this. And I don't want to say to the extent David was, but emotionally where I was, and I feel like, you know, the Lord's got me largely to the other side of that, I think caused this to be written in a much different way, where now I think I wrote it more for someone who might be in a tough spot and trying to minister to them.
Yeah. And it, you know, if we spend any time watching the news or on social media, it's really easy to get overwhelmed pretty quickly by all the different things that are going on. There's such a crazy level of corruption and greed in our culture, from the highest levels of government to the, you know, lowest person. There's a sin issue. And we know as Christians with a biblical worldview that the root of the issue is sin. And so I think we have to be reminded of the reality that God sits on the throne. That may feel so cliche to some who sit in church regularly. You've heard that said probably more times than you can count. But that reality is it's reality that yeah. God sits on the throne, and he places people in power. He works even the things that the enemy means for evil for his good purposes. So we have to keep that mindset, but it can be challenging.
Yeah, and Shane, as you well know, much of the Bible is written in the reality of fallenness.
Right.
Other than the first couple chapters of the Bible, the whole rest of Scripture is the basically the consequence of the fall and how it rears its ugly head and how God shows up in the midst of those difficulties. Even on Sunday mornings, we're going to move to the book of Habakkuk, of all books, right? For Sunday morning, three chapters. And Habakkuk, as a prophet, is asking God, why are you going to use Babylon to destroy your people? I know we're corrupt, but they're worse than us.
Yeah.
And the prophet's asking these questions like the psalmist does in Psalm 22. You know, my God, why? Where are you? How long? So, you know, if we can I'll do a little bit of a shameless plug for the book. The book was really written in with the heart of helping people have a monthly rhythm, 30 psalms for 30 days in a month. I did a bonus chapter where the title comes from. It's from a song in the book of Judges. But really, this devotion, I was hoping would do two things. One, it would help people get a rhythm of daily devotions. But two, that it would minister to people and show that difficulty and struggle is really the DNA of this life. Here's a quote. It's from a book I'm reading right now. This is from Robert. I think it's pronounced Veninja or Veninga. He says, as strange as it may seem, hope has its roots in despair. Indeed, if reality did not give us grounds for despair, it would never give us reason for hope.
Right. And I do love that reality of Scripture too, that, you know, as you start to study the Bible, what you realize is that the Bible doesn't shy away from the shortcomings of its main characters. And so there's something to be said for the legitimacy and historicity of the Scripture in that the guys writing their own stories don't shy away from their own major failings.
Yeah.
But also David's life, as mighty as David was, I mean, from everything we have historically, we know David was strong. He was tall, he was handsome, and we have all these.
I think he was short, but I don't know.
Yeah, we have all these descriptions of David as this mighty warrior, but then so much of the Psalms is really zoomed in on David's struggles. And, you know, you and I both write. I have some books that I have some visions for in the future, but I predominantly am a songwriter. And so I really resonate with David because I have found over the years of writing, and I've been doing it for a little while now, that most of the songs that I write are not songs of rejoicing so much as reflecting on struggle. And
yeah.
I have found that that's just how I write, is when I'm going through things. And, you know, I think that there's something to be said for the fact that the psalmist of Israel was often reflecting on the things that he was working through that were difficult and challenging, mm-hmm. his fears, his anxieties. But David also had a way, and the psalmist at large had a way of always bringing it back to hope in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really our goal in this program, is that how can we encourage those listening to turn their eyes to the Lord? You know, there's an old song that we sing a lot, even here at Living Truth, that we sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And it's so true, but it's a lot easier to sing that song on a Sunday morning than it is to do that when things are falling apart.
There's people who, Shane, who read David, and some people have said, he seems like an emotional basket case.
Right.
But you know what, you said something very important, and it goes with your songwriting, and I think it goes with someone who writes poems or, you know, is an author. Is oftentimes from our deepest struggle and pain come the more substantive realities of life.
Yeah.
And so I think what you watch David do, and I think this is the key to his emotional and spiritual health, and it can be to ours, and I wrote this in the book, is he's honest about his emotions. He even asked the main character of the Bible is God. He even asked God questions like, Lord, where are you? Lord, how long? But what you said is so important. But he always seems to do it with an eye on God, with some healthy self-talk.
Right.
And then he ends up sometimes through a very windy road coming back to the answer. And the answer is God. You said something about the fires, which is important. Oftentimes in despair and questions, you know, this fallen world is subject to decay. It's going to happen. It drives us to ask deeper questions. And that's part of how this is redemptive. I am not trying to in any way lighten the losses of life and property and, you know, and all that's happened, because that is devastating and it's hard and difficult. And that has its own set of questions. But I'm saying this, that it does show that there's a very temporariness about this life. It is very fragile. And something else on a human level is that you will watch people love each other, start reaching out to neighbors that maybe they didn't know really well. And there's a redemptive part in that as well.
Yeah. And it, the impermanence of life, just that it will, you know, James says in his book that this life is like a vapor.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's true that things move really quickly. And, you know, I actually just read, I've been reading through the 30-day devotional that you wrote. And last night, my wife and I read chapter 6, and it's Heal Me, O Lord, and Psalm 6. And, you know, you mentioned what you just said in that chapter, that, you know, it'd be easy to read some of these Psalms and think, man, David's a mess. But the reality is that David was facing, I think I've already said this, but struggles that we may never quite know to the level that David was facing. I mean, he's fearing for his life. His own family's turned against him. In some cases, his own people have turned against him. And, you know, there's sometimes just such a bad message that's put out by the church, that if we just say this prayer in Sunday morning church or at a night of worship or whatever it might be, and your life's going to be great forever and you're going to be prosperous and wealthy and healthy. And the reality is that's not the gospel. Mm-hmm. In fact, Jesus himself, you know, I lead our young adult ministry, and on Tuesday night, we were talking about this a little bit with our young adults, that Jesus himself said that they hated me, they will hate you. Whoever wants to follow me, in Matthew, he says they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of being a Christian is dying to self and sacrificing.
We talked about in a recent Sunday morning, Shane, how God will separate the wheat from the chaff.
Right.
And, you know, when Satan asked to sift Peter as wheat, we talked about how, you know, in order for us to be holy, we have to go through some sifting. Jesus allowed that, but he said, I've prayed for you, and you're going to be stronger, I'm paraphrasing, when you come back from this.
Yeah.
I want to go back to what you said about the gospel. David, as many of you know who are familiar with the Bible, cast the shadow of the Messiah into the New Testament.
Right.
Jesus is the greater David. What did Jesus go through? Well, he lived the perfect life for us, but we know he was the most innocent sufferer who ever lived. He was betrayed by a friend. He was denied by the leader of the 12 apostles. So Jesus knows what it's like to suffer as a human when he didn't deserve it at all, because he was sinless.
Right.
And we often say he entered into our pain and lived the perfect life and faced off death, defeated the grave. So we've got to see, I think this is the biggest part of what we're saying, is that to whatever may go on, whether you've lost, you know, possessions or emotionally you're not doing well, there is a hope, and his name is Jesus, and he's the greater David. And I think he, you know, often emerges from these Psalms.
Right. And, you know, you go back to, you know, we went through some of this on Sunday, but you go back to First Chronicles, and David talks to Ornan about using the threshing floor, and Ornan wants to give it to David. And David says, no, I want to pay you. I think it's 600 shekels or something like that. And that's a large sum of money. And David says something pretty powerful in that interchange. He says, I don't want to bring a sacrifice to the Lord that is yours. I want to buy it. I want it to cost me something.
I will not give to God that which costs me nothing.
Right. And I think that too many Christians want to live that way. I think we want the healthy, wealthy, prosperous life, and we have maybe not counted the cost. And so I want to just speak to maybe the men that are listening to the program for just a brief moment and say that don't forget that David was a warrior who literally ripped beasts like lions into pieces with his bare hands. This is a man's man. I mean, this guy was tough. And I think as men, sometimes we do really struggle to be in touch with our emotions. I've done a fair amount of counseling with guys, and I have come to find that a lot of men really struggle to be vulnerable, to be honest, especially in the context of maybe their marriage. They have no idea how to be vulnerable with their spouse. And so this is just a little side note, but for you men out there, if you struggle with that and you maybe have come to the conclusion that if a man, any tears come from a man's eyes, he's a wuss, you know, you got to let go of that type of thinking, because emotions are from God and they can be a beautiful thing. I'm not saying you should be crying every day, but I also think that for men, we sometimes really struggle to just allow emotions to be what they are. And God has created us that way. And so you don't have to suppress that. It can actually do a lot of damage. And I think my point being to bringing this home is we're talking about anxieties and fears. I think that a lot of guys deal with anxiety and don't turn to anybody. Right. And so obviously you have a great advocate first and foremost with your Heavenly Father if you're a believer. But there is a lot of peace and comfort that can come from turning to brothers that you trust. And so I would encourage you that if you're married, that you would talk to your spouse about where you're at if you're dealing with anxieties and fears. And, you know, there's weird ideas I've heard out there a lot of times on social media, like, oh, if a man is vulnerable with his wife, he loses her respect. I think that that's a really poor framework. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to just be careful that we are walking with the Lord and being okay with being vulnerable. Because David does this, and we're reading thousands and thousands of year old texts where David has gone down in history being willing to be vulnerable.
That's why, Shane, the Psalms are medicine for our souls.
Yeah.
Because they're honest. And sometimes, let's be honest, we'll come in on a Sunday morning and we're not doing well and we just don't want to admit it because of our pride. You know, the perfect combination, it was said of Abraham Lincoln, he was a combination of velvet and steel. But let's move away from a human example and let's take the God-man example. Jesus Christ, the perfect combination of velvet and steel. He was often soft when religious people thought he should be harsh. And then he was steel and strong in confronting sin and hypocrisy. And so I think that he is always our model. Mm-hmm. And if he is our model, he's the ultimate man, right? So it's okay to cry. He cried at the tomb of Lazarus. He wept over Jerusalem. And he probably cried on other occasions too. He sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the depths of emotion. But again, he's the ultimate example of always, you know, trusting in God and trusting in his Father. And that's what we can do as well.
Yeah, and David wasn't afraid to be a bold worshiper too. I mean, we have these different scenes in Scripture where David is unashamed to worship before the Lord. And I will say too that I see a lot of men struggle with that they struggle to be vulnerable in the sense that anything, getting on their knees, lifting their hands, even singing for most men is very uncomfortable. And I get it. I'm a worship director. And when I'm not on stage, I have to deal with those same struggles as a man. Like it takes a little bit of humility to say, I'm going to just worship the Lord because he's worthy. He's
Amen.
Worthy.
Amen. So let's talk about, we just have a few minutes. Time goes by really quick.
Yeah.
Let's talk about just some takeaways from today. So obviously, you know, some of our listeners are not in LA. They're in other countries or in a different part of our country. But the personal struggle can come from anywhere. It can come from your employment. It can come from your marriage. It can come from your own internal struggles. So let's talk about some takeaways. What do we want people to think about and more than that, apply? So we've been talking about this devotional book and you know, since this is Walk in Truth and since I've recently written this book, and I do believe that it will minister to folks, so here's something you could do. Something you could do is you can get the book on Amazon. It's called Oh My Soul, March On with Strength. I think it's like $15 and some change. You can also become a monthly partner of Walk in Truth for a $40 one-time gift, or if you become a monthly partner, $40 per month, and we'll send you the book as a thank you. You can do it either way. I will tell you, even if you don't have the funds, I would want to get this book in your hands. So if you have a financial hardship, reach out to us through the website, walkintruth.com. Write us a note. Hey, I want the book, but I can't afford it right now. I didn't write the book to make money. I wrote the book to minister. And I do believe that it does minister. And I know you and your lovely wife, Shane, have been reading through it. And I hope it's been ministering to you.
Yeah. And I'll just say that it's a great book. It's a great way to have a month of getting into God's word every day. You're going to get a psalm and then some commentary on that psalm with every chapter.
And it's about a 5-10 minute read at the most.
Yeah,
per chapter.
It's maybe some of the longer chapters are 15 minutes, but it's an easy read, but it's a blessing. It's been encouraging. And, you know, so we just want you to, we want you to get this book because we believe it'll bless you. And it's all focused in on God's word. So it's never going to be a waste of your time. And so we're so glad that you've been listening today. We pray that you'd be encouraged. We know that the world is crazy. We realize that there's a lot going on. And so I pray that you would find your security in Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray that you would I pray that you would see your need for a Savior, that you need to be rescued from your sin, and that you would repent and believe. The Bible makes it so simple, and the gospel is simple. You can't do enough, but God loves you anyway. If you confess Jesus is Lord with your mouth and believe that He's your Savior, you're saved. And so
Amen.
We want to encourage you to check out the book. It's called Oh, My Soul, March On With Strength. There's so many different ways you can find it. It is available on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon, Kindle, which is pretty much like the same thing. And then if you contact us directly through the website, walkintruth.com, ask for the book. It's a long title, so we're going to say it again. Oh, My Soul, March On With Strength. And you can see from the title, it's a book about, hey, you can keep going. You can press on. You can press into God, and you can press on, and you can make it through Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So that's what it's all about. And this is Pastor Michael Lance. Hey, if you're new to the program, this is not typically what we do, but we wanted to take a broadcast to talk about some of these topics and give you a chance to grab a resource that we believe will be helpful for you. If we can do anything for you in any other way, you have a prayer request, you have a need that we can try to help you with, reach out to us through the website, walkintruth.com. This is Pastor Michael. Pastor Shane, thank you so much for
absolutely
being with us today. We love you all. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
If you'd like to reach out with questions or maybe you need some prayer, call 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Or you can email us when you visit walkintruth.com. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lance. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
I want to invite you to attend a local service where I have the privilege of being senior pastor. It's called Living Truth Christian Fellowship. It's a great church in the city of Corona, about where the 91 and 15 freeways intersect. Hey, if you're within driving distance and you've been liking what you hear on the radio, it does come directly from the pulpit of Living Truth Christian Fellowship. We're doing a little study in the book of Habakkuk right now. So if you're interested in that book, and you should be because it's part of the Bible, but you've probably never heard, maybe, I shouldn't assume, but likely you haven't heard a message from Habakkuk or a study through the book, only 3 chapters. Hey, if you want to check it out and you've been thinking about coming, now's the time. Services are 9 and 11 a.m. The easiest thing you could do is go to walkintruth.com, click on that church tab, walkintruth.com, click on the church tab. You'll get directions, what to expect for the kids, what we have going on in the courtyard, just what to expect. We'll give you everything we can. And if you want to reach out to us with additional questions, you can always do that through walkintruth.com. Love you all, and we'll see you right here next time.
And join us Monday for the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 4, called Jonah's Anger and God's Compassion.
Did he see what happened? Did he look at his heart? Did he walk back down that hill and back into that city and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I've been stubborn, biased. My heart's been wrong. Use me. Did he go back into the city and become a discipler? You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ in the Great Commission said, go out into all the world and make disciples of what? All nations. God doesn't just love America. I'm sorry to burst your bubble. There are people in this area of the world today, and you've heard the reports, in the area of modern day Iraq and even Iran, that are having dreams about Jesus Christ. He's showing up to people in their dreams, and they're converting to Christianity.
I'm Mike Massaro, and thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, where it's our goal to equip you to reach out with God's truth to all people.